Well, good evening, Friendship Bible Church, and all the other people that are tuning in. It's good to be here. There is a storm outside. I can hear the thunder and some lightning going on, so I do pray that we won't get disconnected. But it's good to be here with everybody. We are going to give about a minute to let people tune in live that we're planning on tuning in live. But I hope everyone's holding up. It looks like there's some light at the end of the tunnel here, and hopefully we'll all be back together physically in churches before you know. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer tonight. Lord, as we continue to look through the First Thessalonians, we just ask for your blessing upon your word, that you'll have us see what you'd have us to see and be able to apply it to our hearts and just to change us to be more like you. So again, we do thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, good evening again. And here we are in today's date. I like to always start out with a date, and I forgot the date. It's the 20th. So April 20th and 15 in quarantine. Starting in 1 Thessalonians, we are in chapter 3. And yes, we will cover that here in the next 20 minutes. We will go through all of chapter 3, and I'll just point out a couple things that I see for us here tonight. Let's read the first 5 verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. And I do want to point out and remind you that we ended last week with Paul saying these words in chapter 1. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So just keep that in mind too, because he was hindered to come see these guys in person. So again in verse 1, wherefore we could no longer forbear. And we'll hit that again because Paul... we'll bring that up. So they couldn't endure anymore. They wanted to see the people of Thessalonica, but they couldn't. So after a while, they couldn't forbear it any longer, so they send Timothy. And sent Timotheus, our brother, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and your labor be in vain. So these first 5 verses, obviously, Paul pointed out a couple of times. One, he could no longer take it anymore, so he sent Timothy to go check up on their faith. And we heard that they received it pretty well. But there's this issue of afflictions. And tribulations, suffering, these things do come to every Christian's life who chooses to walk godly. The Word of God tells us that all those who live godly will suffer. And now we're not talking about the regular things that everyone will suffer. I mean, we all get sick at times. We all have hard things that go through that naturally do come. Until one day we're with the Lord and we don't have these corruptible bodies anymore. But I'm talking about the things that we suffer because we're living out our faith. And when we live out our faith, who takes notice? Satan does. So again, Satan hates when light shows up. He's darkness. When a light switch goes on, he's going to know it. When these believers turn from idols to the true and living God, as the word says here, what happened? Well, in Satan's eyes, physical people might not have saw it right away. But I'm pretty sure Satan saw it right away. It's like a light switch going on to him. He says, new believers over there, guys. New believers over there. We need to try to squash them. We can't let them get anywhere established in the faith. We need to go after them. Now, that's not me saying that he goes and possesses us. Nope. He can never possess believers. Don't go too far on that issue. But he surely will hinder. Paul mentions that power. He says that Satan hindered him in chapter 1. And here in verse 5 it says, lest the tempter have tempted you. Now, he's very real. So here again, one, we do see Paul's great love. He was so concerned about him. When Satan held him up, and whatever that case that is, maybe he had to stay where he was at to help fellow believers, and he couldn't let them alone. But either way, he was so concerned about the Thessalonians that he couldn't take it anymore. Finally, he said, you know what? I got to sacrifice here, and I need to send Timothy to go check on these guys. Paul acknowledges also, again, like I said, the power of Satan. He acknowledges that, you know, when a light goes on, Satan notices it. So he sends Timothy to make sure. So here in verse 5, though, we see something. One, for this covenant, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you, so after checking in up on him, he's very worried, very concerned about it, and brought us good tidings of your faith. And we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, for those that just tuned in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 here. So, yeah. But now when Timothy came from you to us, brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So what happened? Paul gets a good message from Timothy. One, that he found out that, yeah, that's partly why he wrote this letter. They accepted God's word for what it was. They didn't accept it as a man's word or whatnot. They realized here's the true and living God coming out through Paul. When they showed up on the scene to share the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw it as God's words and they accepted it wholeheartedly. Now he comes to find out they are standing strong. They stood strong. They're still laboring in love. They're sharing the faith. They're standing strong. At this time, there's a lot of false idols, a lot of stuff going on. People today want to say, oh, look how horrible it is. It's getting worse and worse. It's always been bad. There's always been fluctuation. It's no different today than what it was back then. But here they are they're taking a stand, they're standing strong. Verse 7 says, therefore, brethren, when we were comforted over you all in all our affliction and distresses by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. It's amazing that here Paul, when he couldn't endure it any longer, sends Timothy to check on him, gets the good report. And now even Paul, when he's going through his afflictions, his distresses at that moment, the time, when he gets this report, what happens? He says, they're comforted over you in all their afflictions. So basically, the report is such a blessing to Paul, so much so that it imparts more power, more love, more hope in Paul's life, that it covers or pretty much removing all the conflict that he's going through in life. So let that be a challenge to you tonight, that we as a church, the body of Christ, can feed off each other, grow from each other, that when one stands strong in a certain situation and then someone else going through something similar, they look at you and say, wow, I can do it. Look, this person's standing strong. Or you just be such an encouragement to someone that you might not know who that is, but they see you standing strong. And it motivates them. It encourages them and says, Lord, let me be like them. And they start stepping out in faith and walking by faith and experiencing Christ like you are. That's important. There's definitely a 360-degree effect. There's definitely that domino effect. Those commercials that you might see on TV where someone gives a helping hand to somebody. Someone 20 feet away witnesses that and like, wow, that person smiled. So then that person's motivated to go and do something nice for somebody. Then that person sees it and it just continues on. The same with the body of Christ. Paul was so moved that all the things that he was going through just went out the door. He didn't worry about them anymore. He had distresses. He had conflicts and they were just vanquished because he just got such an encouragement from the believers that he invested in, that he was concerned with. Also, it should be a challenge to us too, that when it's on your heart and the Lord brings someone into your heart, your life, and you're like, man, I wonder what they're up to. Well, you just didn't think about that haphazardly. The Spirit's at work. Well, give that person a call. See how they're doing. Pray for them. Do something. There's a reason why someone came to mind. There's a reason why you might have saw something that no one else did. The Holy Spirit, when we walk in the Lord, he does a lot of things. But Paul was also straightforward enough to tell these believers, hey, look, you received God's word, but remember, we told you, you are going to suffer. He didn't lie. He didn't sugarcoat it. And for us as Christians, we will suffer. We are going to meet resistance from Satan. But when you see the body of Christ at work here, as we stand together, some of us might fall, some of us might stand more. And then maybe you'll fall in one area and that person will stand more. But we'll keep feeding off each other, blessing each other, edifying each other. and we grow together. And that's a wonderful thing. So he keeps going on here, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Basically saying, you know what, I can't find any more words to thank you guys enough for standing strong. He was just so happy with them standing. That doesn't mean they were perfect. Verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. He wants to really come in person to see them. But like I said, they weren't. It's not that they were perfect, but they were just loving the Lord and letting God work in their life. Yes, they were suffering. I'm sure they had fault. We even see here as well in verse 10 at the end there, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul does want to come, and he does make note here that there is something he wants to talk to them in person about. And we'll see that part of that is this whole idea of struggles and tribulations. Because one of the other concerns that he had for them, that I believe was involved with this, is that he knew they were being afflicted, and they knew that they had concerns about that. And he's going to address that here at the end of the next chapter. One being that they thought, wow, the second coming of Christ is coming. Wow, we're in the tribulation already. And he addresses that and says, no, you're not. We're saved from that wrath. You don't have to worry about that. So that was part of why, too, that the deceivers deceiving him to think, wow, we're in the tribulation. We need to be looking for the second coming of Christ. We need all these other things, which just completely distracts you from the grace of God that we're living in today. So, well, as we progress through this, we need to challenge ourselves to really take God's word to heart for what he says and believe when he says it. But anyhow, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct your way unto you, direct our way unto you. So he's praying, Lord, we want to come see these guys. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. So just to close tonight, one, realize tribulations are going to come, afflictions are going to come. Not just natural ones, but specifically extra ones to us who believe, to us who want to walk with the Lord and live out our life in the Lord. They will come. Two, let it be a challenge to always stand strong, because not only should you do that, but there's benefits to witness the very power of God in and through your life when he gets you through those heartaches. But more importantly, when you think about others that get to witness you, more importantly, with you, they see Christ in you through all those things. And what an encouragement you can be towards others. Yeah, you might have had a hard time. Yeah, you might have struggled, but when you come out the end, you come out smiling. And people look at you and say, you know what? I can do it too. I can stand strong in Christ because that person did. She did. He did. So I challenge you to do that. And then as Paul finishes here, stay strong. Stay strong in the Lord. Establish your hearts in the Lord. Every time I see that word establish, I think of roots. And we just had a storm here blow through. Heard lots of thunder and lightning. Was hoping the internet would stay up. But the roots dig in. There's so many trees out there. Sometimes disease comes, might weaken certain branches and they'll break off, or sometimes a tree will blow over. But we as Christians, we need to dig our roots in. Keep staying with the Lord. Walk by faith, not by sight. Stand in his grace. Your roots dig in deeper and deeper. When the storms of life come, it can just storm on you all at once. And you'll just stand there saying, bring it on. I don't care. And that's what you can start saying to Satan. Bring it on. I don't care. I got the whole armor of God. I will stand like these guys did. Stand strong. And then everyone else is going to see around me what I'm doing. And then they're going to start digging their roots into. Before you know it, you have a whole forest of Christians standing strong with all the storms, not just of life, but also the spiritual storms that come. All standing strong, not being able to be weathered, tossed to and fro, or none of that stuff. So let that be a challenge to you tonight. And I do trust you are all staying strong. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, like I said. And before you know it, we'll all be together physically, being able to hopefully handshake, give each other hugs, stuff like that. But let's not push the envelope. But it'll work out. So let's just pray and close. Lord, just thank you again so much for your word. More importantly, Lord, we do want to thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. That he made the ultimate payment, not just with his life, but his blood that did the payment for all sin. And you accepted it. So, Lord, all we got to do is place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that shed blood for us that paid our sin debt. And if we're willing to receive that free gift, place our faith in him, we immediately are saved for all eternity. And we're so thankful for that. And for us who are believers, help us to stand strong, be mindful of what he did do for us, what he's already done for us, what he's going to do in our life today, that we may live and just walk by faith and experience you every step of the way. So thank you again for your word, that it is sure and true, and we can truly stand on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, everyone, take care tonight. I did pretty much keep it a true 15-minute in quarantine tonight instead of going 20 or 30 minutes. But you guys take care. God bless.